Hello, everybody. My name is Sadie, and I'm a dark rock singer, guitarist, and producer. So I live in Los Angeles, and this is my music studio. Most of it is currently packed up because we may have to evacuate from the fires. But you can see some of the stuff. You can see the drum kit, piano. But basically, my biggest influences are like 90s dark rock, so Nirvana mainly, Alice in Chains. But I also really have a lot of influence from classic rock, bands like Led Zeppelin, Fleetwood Mac. So it's kind of a mix of the two. It's not full on metal, but I really like the idea of incorporating elements from those different artists together to sort of form, something new. But I would say probably Kurt Cobain's my biggest influence. He, like for me, his music is therapy. And that's how I learned guitar. So I basically just learned Nirvana covers. And I started to write. So using the same kind of chords, I could start writing. But I was having trouble finding someone to produce the music or other musicians. So I was in a couple bands. But there's always the drama. There's always some drama. And then I prefer being in a band. I prefer it. It's really difficult. So I started to figure out, okay, maybe I should try doing this on my own. So I actually started going to school at Musicians Institute in Hollywood. So there they teach you, how to produce music, how to use DAW. And I studied vocal performance, did live performance workshops. So it was amazing. And that sort of gave me the footing. So I had some really good teachers, and they taught us a lot about how to build your own music studio because it's so expensive making music, like so expensive. If you don't have tons of money, you just
But
can't
you
make.
get 0.0001 cent before a stream. So I mean, you will be rich in no time, right? I mean, so okay, sorry. Just wanted to interject
Totally.
some.
You can interrupt.
No,
Totally.
go on. Yeah, I mean, I know a real studio will set you back big time.
That was the thing, is like the recording costs money, getting a producer costs money, getting a mixing engineer. And by the time all that's done, you're broke after one song. But I actually had a teacher, and he taught us all about how you can, basically produce really good quality music from home, using not so expensive of gear. And so I basically did that. So over the course of like 6 or 7 months, I just started building and getting all of the gear, so that I could record from home. And it actually turned out to be a good thing, because then this pandemic happened. And so that's the only option, is to
Yep, so
record
you
from home.
so
So
I mean, you also play the all these instruments, so you play also drums and stuff?
yeah, so I learned a little bit of basics for bass and drums, but I'm not like, I'm not a drummer, I'm not a bass player. But with Logic, it really helps, because there's so many things, like when you're playing with the MIDI drums and it's not a perfect performance, you just
You
quantize it
can
and it's
yeah, exactly. You
perfect.
can align it and it will work,
And people hear it and they're like, wow, that's so good. I'm like, yeah, the AI is really good.
That's me, that's me, folks.
Always.
But also I yes, that's true, and that's a good thing, of course. But sometimes, and I guess you know this yourself, I mean, one of the charm with Nirvana is that I mean, they have one of the greatest drummers, Dave Grohl is no
Definitely.
question about it. He is great, but with all the time alignment and all these things, sometimes it can be very sterile and not, sometimes the gritty stuff is that you are a little bit off, So especially with Nirvana, I grew up with them as well. A big influence for me, so I'm absolutely with you. We're brother and sister in music. I can feel that. So No, but the thing is, it has also, you know, it has this punk vibe, this aggressiveness, and a little bit the buzz, and not, you know, completely on point. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's a little bit tricky to. I remember the thing when you know all used the same the metal bands used the same samples for the drum, and it was sterile. It was really just the same for all the. It was like, oh, okay, yeah. And then show me how to play this live. You know, it's like perfect, and nobody plays like that.
Yeah, I totally. And actually, that was a hard thing for me when I first started at school, because I would take my tracks in, and the teachers who are also producers, they'd say, oh, well, this. You change tempo here, you know, you need to play to a click track. And I was like, I couldn't handle the whole play to a click track thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's no emotion. Like, I hated having to like line everything exactly. But the thing is, if you're not gonna play in a band, you have to, you know, because, you know, with Nirvana, they've all recorded together. But for me, like recording on my own, I can't, you know, and so it took me forever to sort of get into that, you know, sort of way to produce, like to grid everything out, because I just thought everything could be like flowy and artistic, but there's structure that you have to do. And it took me a while to get into that.
Sure. Yeah. It's a different, I mean, for one thing, it's good because, I mean, you really have to be on time, and you get a very precise musician through this, because you have to, because there is no other way. You need to be very, become really good, because with a band, as you know, is, you know, if you go a little bit faster and the other guy goes a little bit faster, then everyone goes a little bit faster, and then the drummer kind of keeps it together and goes, you know, with a speed. So it's kind of, it's a moving thing, you know, it can go wherever. So, but if you're alone, it's straight, it's a given time, and you have to stick with it. So you need to become really good to do this, but you lose a little bit the flow, the kind of the human element, let's put it this way. You know what I mean? You know,
I agree. I noticed that, like with Nirvana, I liked the way, like, that attracted to me in his music, is that he varied the tempo, because it's like, it's a story, you know, it's like his expression. But I think you can still make good music.
Of course, this is, no, I don't want to bash it. I don't want to, you know, say something against it. It's great. And it's not bad music. It's just, it loses a little bit this organic tinge, you know, this little, you know, there's something there, and people cannot put the finger on it, but it's, we feel it.
I'm with you.
Okay, so you play also, you play it in, and then you kind of align it, and then you have a track. So you currently don't have a band, right?
I have actually, maybe I'm starting a band. So I have a drummer and a guitar player.
Ooh, cool.
We were going to rehearse the other night, but then we got the warning for the fires that get ready to evacuate. So we had to cancel. It was going to be our first rehearsal.
Not too bad.
They seem cool. But, you know, here you can't perform in public still. It's just, it would be awesome to get, like you were saying, the organic element into the music. And, you know, I can't drum the way that a professional drummer could, and could make the music like go even further, you know, layering on top of that stuff, you know, with samples, but like having that human element, the drummer, you can feel that, as you were saying, you know, it's organic, and there's like a soul to it for sure. So that'd be cool. But I have to wait out this fire thing. So right now, like, it's just like covered in ash and smoke and all this smoke.
Ach, du Schande. Yeah. I saw pictures, like, you know, it's crazy. It's like a, end of a world doomsday over there. I mean, you know, everything is in yellow tinge and sepia tones everywhere. And, crazy stuff. But you're safe, right?
Yeah, I'm safe. I'm watching the radar and making sure that the fire's still moving north. Because you got it's crazy. It's just it's exhausting. I feel like this apocalypse is exhausting. You know, I gotta make sure I'm wearing my mask, sanitize. You know, don't go outside when there's smoke. Keep them up to date with the radar.
You know, it's funny to say. You know, this should be in the next apocalyptic movie. Should be like, oh, this apocalypse is so exhausting. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want, you know, oh, this nuclear bombs was really annoying. You know? I know what you mean, but it's. I completely get you. You know, you got on top of this pandemic. You got this other shit going on, unfortunately. So it's yeah, you know, I mean, we're all a little bit wary with a pandemic, you know, but we're living in tough times, right?
I just tell myself, I'm like, just like one crisis at a time, you know.
Exactly.
And then move on, because my mom was saying, she's like, say you can't focus on all the crises at once, you'll go crazy. Just focus on one crisis. So I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna wait for these fires to go away.
Okay,
just wait. Yeah.
But otherwise you're fine. I mean,
Well, you can't go outside. You can't breathe the air.
Ach du Schande.
You have to basically stay in the house and pump up the AC. Because like the air, apparently right now, up in Oregon is worse where my parents are. But I think Portland and Seattle and San Francisco are rated like the three highest cities for toxic air quality right now. Because of all the smoke, and up in Oregon, it just keeps blowing back. So the smoke tries to blow out to the ocean, and then it just comes back, and it's just they can't get rid of it. And it's just, yeah, it's just you don't want to breathe that. Like it's apocalyptic. So I have my mask. You know, I just put it on before I leave for you know many different things. So it has multiple uses now. They should put that on the wrapper, like not just for the pandemic.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, it's a wildfire edition.
Okay, I see. But you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. But how are you coping financially? I mean, you're I don't know what you're. I assume that you're not living from your music alone by now. So.
Hell no.
Yeah. But yeah, how are you? I mean, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. I'm just like, okay, you know, you're in a dire situation. I mean, in a double dire situation, basically, right? So I was just wondering, but you got Ice Cube, so everything is fine.
Well, good. Well, actually, so I actually am a professor. So I teach earth science. So that's my job. And I get paid so I can support myself.
I see. Earth science. This brings me to your band name, The Waking Point, right? So you teach earth, can you, because earth science is kind of like earth science, okay, that's a very wide topic, at least for me. What is it? Is it not geology meteorology or something?
So I teach a couple. I teach geology, I teach oceanography, and this quarter I'm teaching something called natural disasters.
Perfect timing.
I was like, do we even need to like learn anything? We should just go outside every day. And
was it right maybe now. You to maybe, you know, cause something here because you wanted to bring home a point, right? You wanted to get more students to your course. That's the only reason. Okay. I'm not going to tell anyone, you know. Like we said before, nobody will see this talk but a million of people.
Right. Yeah.
In the interwebs.
Yeah, the interweb. Hello, interweb.
Yeah, but so the new thing, I don't know if it will caught on, but, you know, but maybe. We will try it. So anyway, so you have a teaching position. Because I read in your bio also you got a PhD in Australia, so this is your earth science. So you're a teacher or professor, or how do you call this?
In America, we say professor. So I teach college age. So so college students. And yeah, so I got my PhD in Australia. I loved Australia.
Where in Australia?
In Perth, Australia.
Ah, okay. Because my
Not
wife is
West.
from Melbourne, you know, so I have also a deep connection with Australia. So I was like, oh, we need to talk about it, you know. So you already have you know, one notch higher in my personal hit list. So yeah, you're already up there. So Perth, yeah, I haven't been to Perth, I have to admit, but yeah, of course, Australia, you know, dear to my
I know.
heart.
I know the kangaroos. I miss them. I miss them all the time.
By the way, I was just telling a friend, you know, in Australia there are the smallest penguins, right? And I always get it wrong. Is it Prince Edward Island or some island where we are? You should know this, right? They're very
Prince
small
Edward
penguins.
sounds right. Yeah,
Huh?
Prince Edward sounds right. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So
They're
I
really
might be.
obsessed with the royal family. Yeah.
And they're really cute, you know. They're the smallest ones I ever seen, and
Yeah.
you can walk with them when they come out of the water. It's really fine. You know, I just told the story this
Oh.
morning to a friend, and yeah. Anyway, I really, you know, my wife is from Australia, so I need to say I love Australia. It's really it's a great. No, I do like it.
You had Vegemite yet?
I did. But I disapprove a little bit. You can eat it,
Gross.
but well,
It's gross.
you don't need to eat it, right? I mean, this
No,
is just
very gross.
because you can eat it. You can eat a lot of things, you know. Ask the Japanese; they eat almost everything. They would eat stones if they could. But so no Vegemite for me.
Yeah, no, it's nasty. They're like, try it with avocado, it'll help. And I was like, no, this is not helping. This is nasty.
But have you tried these little? There is this. What's Tim Tams or Tam Tams, Tam Tams, Tim Tams.
Oh
You know them.
my
You know
God, Tim Tams!
that's a really cool stuff. I
Oh
mean, I really
my
love
God!
it. That's my thing. You know,
Oh,
it's that's a cool. Yeah. Anyway, it's a little bit messy, but cool. I mean,
I
you did
love
the straw
those.
thing, right? You did the straw thing with them. You, of
Of
course, of course.
course.
Who am I talking to? I'm talking to a professor. Sorry, of course you did.
Tim Tams
Science.
slam! Yeah, science.
Science, right?
Absolutely.
But anyway, this kind of okay. Now it makes more sense with a waking point. So I guess you have more than just one calling. So you're a professor for earth science, and you're also an in your music an advocate for earth science, or how you would say awareness for the issues we face. And I mean, you're in it right now. You know, with the fires. This is. One, oh man, I don't, okay, maybe we don't want to go there because I'm thinking of your idiot president you have right now. And, you know, so okay, let's maybe not go there. You know, you are in a teaching position, so you should be a little bit careful.
No, this is a happy place. This is a happy place.
Okay, yeah, no, we don't talk about, but I'm, you know, with all this going on, but my point, and when I stop, is with all this going on, you know, and you can clearly see how this world is affected by the climate change, and then you say no, it's not, the data is there, you know. I mean, since the Industrial Revolution, it goes up and up and up, and you can see it. You can see the green rivers in China, you know, where they're all poisoned and stuff. So this is man-made, and how can you say
Yeah.
no? It's, you know, it's always like that, and you know, yeah, okay.
That's just special interests just, you know,
Yeah, so
they're perpetrating what they want, but like for me, I have to teach it, right? So some students come in and they have this idea, right, that it's fake. But I'm like always so ready for them. And then by the end of the class, they're like, we're gonna get jobs and fight climate change. And they're like, we're gonna plant trees. And they're like, Professor, have you heard about this organization to plant trees? And they're like so into it. So that like gives me a lot of hope that this generation is so like eco-conscious and passionate. Thank goodness. Thank goodness for that. But like you're saying, like it's going up, it's irrefutable fact. Like, you know, we teach the scientific method, a fact is a fact.
Yeah,
You know, you
exactly.
can't say it's not true. And you know, a lot of what we're seeing now, like if we look at the virus, the coronavirus, another thing I have my students do is there's this paper in a medical journal and basically talks about how there's thousands of other coronaviruses out there and they could jump to humans if Earth gets hotter. And basically disease is a is an artifact of climate change. You know, the hotter Earth gets, the more diseases we're going to have. You know, like we're getting stuff here that we haven't seen. We got the Black Death now here in America.
Really? I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
The plague is coming back to America. Wow. What's an import?
And I remember telling my dad, and he was not worried. He was like, oh, whatever, there's a cure.
Wow, the Black Death, yeah. This was, I mean, you know, this was ravaging in Europe like 500 years ago, I don't know, 600 years ago, and now you got it perfect. Man, you should import other stuff.
The thing about it, yeah, no, totally. It's just, it's scary because it's not about like, oh, whatever, we can, you know, it's already been cured, but it's, if older diseases are resurfacing, that's not a good thing, you know, if people... I don't know. People really just want to see the best in everything, and they don't want to think of that things are going wrong. I don't know. It's this weird psychology of humans. Like we can't like sense danger unless it's like right in our face. Like to people, a lot of people, climate change is like existential. Like it doesn't affect them, but now it really is affecting a lot of people here. So if one thing comes from these fires, I really hope that a lot of people wake up, right? Waking point.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to make this distinction. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, you know, I'm a normal, whatever this means, person as well, you know. I have my daily life, I have my daily job, I have my family and stuff, I have so many things to take care of, you know, so I cannot worry, like you said in the beginning, you know, worry only on one thing, you know. I worry, okay, to pay the next bill and do this and that, you know, the little things. And so I understand, that's usually people do. And then thank you. Yeah, so you pay bills as well. Good.
I try.
Okay, perfect. No, and when it's like, but this is such a immense big thing, and I see, you know, I'm more like a happy, optimistic person. So
yeah,
and this means I know the facts, and if we know the facts, we can do something against it. We can find, you know, this is, I think it's irreversible. I think it will happen, you know, the earth will heat up, unfortunately, so the water will rise and we will have migration of people. So this will all happen, I think, you know, but I'm like, okay, let's brace for that. Let's do something what we can do. What's effective, you know, there's people in, I think in Norway or Sweden, who found a way to filter out the CO2 from the air and make pellets out of it or something. You know, I'm kind of
that.
You heard about this
how
too.
Cool is that?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think
we're very ingenious. We can come up with ways to
exactly.
Help.
So this is not it's like. I think this is a different breed of person who are kind of like, if you give me a problem, I can either say, oh no, I don't know what to do, and you know, just ignore it or something, but it will not go away, you know, you have to address it. It's like, you know, this weekend we talked a lot about relationship advice, you know, and it's always better to say something before, you know, like the little things add up to a big thing, you know, before you explode and no, I'm gonna go, and you know, and if you say, okay, oh, you didn't close the toothpaste and you didn't do that and you did, you know, the little things. And this is exactly how I see it also with the client. I think we will not change it, unfortunately, but we will try to make, you know, in Germany, we have problems with our forests because it's getting so dry, and you know, the trees we have are more for a colder and more wet, more rain and stuff, and we get less water the last years. So we're focusing on, okay, what can we plant that will survive for a warmer environment? You know, it's not... But things are always changing, you know, things are adapting, and this is also in human nature, you know, we don't live like 500 years ago, or even 50 years ago. You know, we moved on. And I see it not as a, it's tough. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to say, okay, yeah, there's a problem and I might have to change something because this is my other belief. You have to start by yourself, you know, not just, you know, say, oh, you need to do that and you driving this big car and you doing that and you, you know, kind of what can I do to do my little piece? And then I think actions are speaking louder than words, you know, just I think it's good here Friday for Future and all these demonstrations we have. But, you know, this is just one thing. This is not done with, oh, okay, I hold up a placard and then, you know, things are going away. I did my job. No, then the real thing happens, you know. And anyway, so I'm optimistic, but pessimistic. I mean, it will become worse, but let's try to make the best out of it.
Yeah, I think we're in actually total agreement, and people are often really uncomfortable about that. I tell them, look, I think we've already passed our climate tipping point.
I think so too.
It's irreversible what we've done. But I think we can still at least mitigate the worst of it for our grandkids so that they don't have to live in a completely toxic environment.
Yep.
But I do. I don't know if you could even call it pessimistic. I think it's realistic. Like, what was it, like 80 degrees in the Arctic last week?
Really?
I mean, that's not...
Oh, you're talking about Fahrenheit, insane. You know, Fahrenheit, because 80 degrees, you know, we're talking here is Celsius and 80 degrees would be quite a lot. It would be boiling almost. Yeah, no. It's fine. No problem. But I think
that's still pretty hot, though.
Yeah, it's still pretty
that's
hot.
That's pretty hot.
Mm, yeah, for the Arctic, of course.
Like, all the ice is gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the map, we lost half of our ice caps in like the last decade. Like, it's insane. And it's moving at a rate that's completely unprecedented on any scale. Mm-hmm. And then that's the most important thing I tell my students is, like, it's not how much the warming is happening, it's how fast. Mm-hmm. Because yes, back in time, it was hotter. It was hotter when the dinosaurs were around, mm-hmm. but it's how fast it's happening. And the fact that we're not adapted to that climate. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly. We need, you know, look at our bodies and stuff. You know, we're still kind of from the Stone Age, you know, with the diets and what the things we eat. And, you know, it's slowly adapting. And we get all back ages because we sit the whole day in our, you know, just... in our offices and sitting on the computer, you know, I mean, we are not adapted to that yet. And all, you know, the social media frenzy, you know, that people are going crazy. Another topic. Yeah. Maybe we don't have to solve everything in this talk. But yeah, we can talk about it. Anyway, maybe let's circle back a little bit. I think we're in complete agreement here. What would be your goal with a Waking Point? I mean, I think we touched about the Waking Point. It's quite clear what you want to achieve, but or what have you achieved already? Or did you already have shows before the lockdown, or were you already performing live with your project? It was just you in the beginning, right?
Yeah, well, you're gonna love this. My first ever gig in LA was the day they announced the state of emergency for the pandemic in California. So everything got shut down, basically. I just had like the worst luck ever. But yeah, I mean, that was my goal, was to go on tour. I want to, you know, that's every rock person's dream, right? Go on tour and travel and play your music with an awesome band and scream out for all the people. That was my goal, but obviously that's not a goal anymore. Mm-hmm. But just to make really good music. And it would be really cool to, you know, maybe get a song in a Netflix show or something. Mm-hmm. I'm still figuring out the industry. I'm still pretty new. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to make money with music eventually. I realize that it's not going to happen right away. You know, it's going to take a lot of hard work. But it can be done. It can be done.
Yeah, and you know, I also Okay, making money, it depends on what your goals are. You know, if you get like $100 per month, you know, that's also something nice. You know, you can have two nice
True.
Dinners with
Yeah.
it, or you can invite your friends over, or you can
Yeah,
have a
true.
little.
Okay.
I don't know. I,
Yeah.
you know, I don't know the prices in Hollywood, so I assume it's a little bit more expensive there. But I don't know. I've been
So
once there
expensive
actually.
here.
Pardon me?
Oh yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
you've been to LA? Yeah.
No.
What did you think?
Of course. I did. You know, I stayed 1 year in the United States, but I stayed on the East Coast, in Washington D.C.
Okay.
And but before I went back to Germany, we traveled to. We took the Route One. You know, this is the scenic route. What's it called? I think it's called Route One, which is goes on on the ocean, right? And then we also went through. And I think we
Is the
also,
101
or 101. Yeah, could be. Oh man,
down
it's.
on the coast of California? Oh, no, on the East Coast.
No, on
I
the
don't know
West Coast,
anything
on the
about the
West
East
Coast.
Coast.
No, on the West Coast.
Oh,
So
okay, yeah, the
it's
101.
one of, then it was
I just
101.
did
Yeah,
that. I just did that.
it's a very
Yeah, for
scenic drive.
sure.
Yeah,
Oh, amazing.
and
Amazing.
yeah, and we hit a few towns and oh, but it's a while back. You know, I was young then. I was young then, back then. You know, different time. You know, I mean, really, it's over. Almost 25 years ago, so yeah, I'm a little hazy in this department, but I think I was in LA. But you know, I don't remember the prices anymore. Yeah,
Yeah.
anyway. So
I mean, I hear Germany is really expensive. Isn't that true? Germany is
it
expensive.
depends on what you mean. Food is actually quite cheap compared to other
Oh,
countries,
okay.
even in Europe. Housing in my hometown, Jena, is quite expensive. And if you go to Munich or so, you will be, I mean, you're just working for to pay the rent and stuff. So yeah, it's really, really
Eating
expensive. Pardon me?
ramen.
Yeah, you eat
Oh,
only
I said you have to eat ramen.
or canned tuna or something, you know, something cheap or
Yeah, kids.
whatever to sustain yourself. You get.
I've been there. I've been there.
Really? Really? Okay.
Yeah, in Australia, I was so poor after I graduated with my PhD. I was so poor. I even like did busking on the street, like playing guitar on the street for money. I was
Okay.
so poor.
Why? Okay, no, I don't know. Why? Because you got a PhD, so, I mean, because you had to pay so much money, or what?
No, I actually got a full scholarship for my PhD, so I didn't pay, but they paid me like a monthly stipend. So every month I would get paid like you're working a job, but it was basically like on the poverty line of wages. Like they don't pay you a lot. And then as soon as you submit your thesis, even before you graduated, they stop paying you. And so I didn't want to go work for an oil company, and that was really the only jobs that you could get there. They didn't have any teaching jobs. It's, I
I
mean, you
see.
know,
Okay.
Australia, like there's two people that live there.
Free.
So,
You forgot the one in the outback.
oh yeah, him. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I got it. Because yeah, I mean, you just graduated and you were ready for a job, I guess. So
Well, I didn't want to go back to America. I wanted to stay in Australia. I wanted to find a job, but I didn't want to like sell out and get a job in oil because I like got offered jobs, but I didn't want to do that. It was just like soulless to me. And I was just looking and I never found anything. And eventually I just had to come back to America and get a job. And it was so terrible. I wanted to stay there. I wanted to stay there forever. But
And
California was okay.
could you not move to a different place in Australia? I mean,
Well, it was just too difficult. Like I don't have like a nest egg to like tap
I see.
into and be
Okay,
like,
yeah,
oh,
you
I'm gonna
will.
need to survive. Because rent there is like really expensive. Oh, you know, right? Rent, everything is expensive there. And
I actually, you know, I mean, I
work.
was twice in Melbourne so far. So, and you know, I lived with my parents in law, so I don't actually know. I didn't ask them how much they pay, I have to admit.
Oh,
So,
wow. Okay.
I don't,
Well, the thing is, their salaries are probably high, you know? They probably had, because in Australia, minimum wage is like $20 an hour. Whereas in America, it's like five or something.
Yeah,
It's
that's
something weird.
something really different. Yeah, I
Slave
mean,
wages. Yeah.
Okay, so
But LA was fun. LA is fun. I do like it. Oh,
and
I hate it.
you have
Really
your
hate it.
family where you said your parents or they are in Seattle or where are they?
In Portland.
In
Yeah, they were in
Portland, okay.
Portland.
Oregon is this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. One that's on fire as well.
Wow.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said
Yeah,
anything.
you're the master of disaster, it seems like. sorry,
Oh
no.
my God, I know, right? I'm so depressing. I'm like Debbie Downer. Do you know Debbie
I
Downer?
know Debbie Downer from Saturday Night
Yeah,
Live, yeah.
that's
Like
me. That's me. Every time my friends are like trying to have a nice conversation, I'm like, you know, saying something about how the world is fucked up and we're all gonna die, and they're like, "Come on, you invited
I
Debbie."
can completely imagine how it goes with you on a party, you know. Oh, look, eat this avocado, and you're like, you know how much water an avocado takes to be produced and stuff. And then, oh, I'll try this or that, and you're like, and don't tell her, don't tell her, don't talk with her. You know, you're kind of your own little crowd then. Yeah, you have a lot of friends, huh?
No, totally. Like that's, but no, the thing is though, I'm very introverted. And so I can be extroverted when I perform, but I'm very low key. Like I like to live alone. When I'm around people for long periods, it gives me anxiety. Like not when you're performing, because it's sort of like you're not really interacting directly. You're like one-on-one. Like when I was living with my last boyfriend, it was, you know, he was a great guy, but it was just like, I was like, why is he still here? Like I need space. Like I just wanted my own space. So I'm just like really introverted. Yeah. Bit of a weirdo, but that's okay.
No, that's absolutely fine. I
Yeah.
mean, I completely
Yeah.
you know, I'm married you know, like a like you know now to an Australian, and yeah, and we have now a bigger flat here, and I really like it because, you know, she has her room, I have my room, and when we meet in the kitchen or something, and I like to also, you know, yeah, exactly, and we have no, because you kind of said this, we have no how you say diverging hobbies or something that we do together. I mean, we have a daughter together and we take care of her, of course, and we do this together. But besides that, she likes nonograms and Sudokus, which I hate. And I, you know, do music and do this talk show here, and you know, do. I'm more outgoing, you know, I'm always leaving, and she likes to stay at home, you know. When the winter comes now around, she can stay in the house for 3, 4 days without leaving, you know, if she doesn't need to go buy groceries or something, you know. And I'm the complete opposite. I get crazy if I don't leave at least once per day, you know. I was with a friend on a morning hike this morning. We saw the sun rise up, and yeah, no. But anyway, I'm completely. I get you because I'm married to one like you as well. But what I took out from your little talk here was so you have like a stage persona where you kind of switch on the rock girl kind of thing, right? So, and that's fine. But you want to talk about the stage persona you have?
So basically for me, I'm expressing myself. And for a while I was holding back a lot. So in my vocal classes, I was sort of halfway giving the performance and I had a vocal teacher say, "I want more, show me more." And so we did this one performance workshop and I was just like getting crazier and crazier. And he's like, "This time do it like you're just so crazy, like you're gonna break a chair. And I was just performing, and everybody loved it. And I was like, just like really stoked that I could like be myself, because I am totally crazy. Like absolutely, I'm a maniac. And so I like to express that. I feel like so alive. Like it's the best feeling. So it's just devastating, this whole can't perform thing.
Like, I just want to show you your audience just tripled. Let's take the right camera.
Hi.
We have some people there. I don't know if you can see them. Ah, no, she's leaving. Saskia, just say hi. Just say hi to the camera. Come here and say hi to the camera.
Hi, people. Hey, how's it going?
How is it going, Saskia?
Good.
You want to say something? Barbara, you want to talk with her? Just say hi.
Hi.
That's Sadie. You can say your name. You need to talk in English.
Well, my name is Saskia.
Oh, it's nice to meet you. I like your red sweater.
That's not a sweater. That's a pajama.
Not a sweater! You're famous now. You're on the internet.
You're on camera. Look there. You're on camera.
You're famous.
Warte mal, ich kann dir das auch zeigen besser. Hier, all cams.
We should hang out someday. I'll come hang out with you. We'll go shopping.
Okay, let me go back to talk with her, okay?
Yeah.
Danke. Oh, thank you. Okay, sorry for the interruption.
Factor, so cute. I die.
Yeah. You were at the stage performer, and I think that's actually a really, really great part of a whole music thing. Or, you know, on performance anyway, you know, because I was more like an actor, and I'm also do music, of course. But what I really like and enjoy is, you, auf Deutsch sagt man kann da richtig die Sau rauslassen. You know, you can let out the pig, we say in German, because you can really, you know, be this crazy person you want to be. And I guess you can agree to this. This is kind of very healthy, because all this boiled up emotion that you kept under, you kept sealed somewhere. Exactly. You can let out, and people love you even for this. This is the coolest thing on the whole issue, that you don't get. We kind of want it, you know. We really like it that you go crazy and do it. And this brings me to one of my most favorite quotes from the guy you might know, Lemmy from Motorhead. And he said once, you know, if you are on stage, perform, because the people don't want the nice guy from their neighborhood. We want the crazy rock star. So, I mean, you got this already, you know, all going on right. And I honestly feel this has a therapeutic a quality, you know, because it you can all the anger and all the things, you know, especially you have a message here, you know, you idiot people, you know, we are dying here and you're not doing anything, and you can just scream out your anger. So yeah, I'm absolutely with you, because you know, I mean, you know me now a little bit. I'm, you know, a calm person, but on stage, yeah, I become this monster. Yeah, I like it too.
It's the best.
Okay. So and your teaching job doesn't interfere with this. You have the freedom. I mean, you don't talk about it if I ask you something.
I mean, I teach online on Zoom. So
that's why you were so perfectly set up for Zoom this morning, right? Sorry, I don't want to be mean to you.
It was a weird thing, because I'm not going to make any failure. Don't talk about it.
You're perfect. You're perfect on Zoom. You're the perfect Zoom teacher.
Yes.
So all the schools are closed, and you have to teach online, right? So
it's online only for the foreseeable future. Which sucks, because as an earth science teacher, we always used to go on field trips. Every week we're going out to see a landslide or hiking a mountain, checking out a river, and it was always so much fun, and they are always just so excited, and it was just such a nice bonding experience with their students. And now it's like almost teaching to robots, you know. But that they shouldn't say that. So many of them are wonderful and engaged, but it's just not the same.
I can sense from you that you're really engaged, and this is something different if you have a real audience. I mean, for music and for teaching, you know, where you can see in their eyes, they really got it, and there's maybe not even the camera on from them, and you just blah, 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 have to do a monologue, and this is really, I can understand. It's quite frustrating, but it has to be for the time now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously their safety is way more important than my boredom. But I miss I used to get a lot of personal joy out of it, out of being one-on-one. Like, it actually added a lot to my happiness, and I didn't realize that until the pandemic.
I think also, you know, now judging from the little I know, that you maybe also have like a teaching persona, you know, if you're saying you're introverted, and I completely get that, because I'm a little bit introverted as well, not as much as my wife, like you put on a stage persona, I guess you have also a teaching persona, you know, that you really show.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but absolutely. It's a performance, but not a deceiving performance. It's like, you know, you just saw my daughter. Everyone has different roles in his life. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a musician. I'm an actor. I have different hats, and so had everyone, you know. So I don't think it's deceiving, or that you play, in a way, you play a role, but it's a part of you. You get what I mean? You let some certain part of you shine, and then this is you as well. This is just more heightened, the thing you need at this moment, you know, like with a stage performance.
I completely agree, because I do that when I go to teach. I say, okay, I put on my professor mode, you know, and for me, I go into my joy of science and how much I enjoy teaching them. Mm-hmm. And like the other part of me is sort of like shuts off, because for me, like I have a lot of different interests and things that I care about. So it's not really that hard, right? You're just doing different things that matter to you. Different times.
Exactly, right? And this is absolutely fine, and this is not deceiving, or you know, you're just what you know, if like now, you know, you're not in a dire situation, so you go into survival mode, and you're not like in teaching mode,
and
like, oh, there is this fact, and yeah, this, you know, you're standing in front of a fire, and fire can burn you, and fire is bad, and fire can do that, and you know, and you need to switch off professor mode, you need to switch on survival mode, you know, right? That's the way it is. Yeah,
for real.
Yeah, for you really got it tough right now. You talked a little bit about your home studio, and so this you just use for your own music, right? So you're not, because you took some courses to really become a music producer. Did I get this right, or was it?
Well, the program is called Independent Artist Program, so they teach you how to basically produce your tracks and ideally how to market them and all that stuff. And I didn't finish the program because I was just wanted to take a few of the classes offered. I didn't want to have to take all of them and pay all that money. So I just took the ones that were relevant, and then I dropped out. But the pandemic happened anyway, so I didn't know that. But yeah, I learned, you know, how to record. you know, the gear that you need to get really good sounding stuff, and then how to take your recording and produce it. And then a little bit of mixing I learned, but not a lot. I definitely am not a confident mixing engineer, but I'm getting really confident with my productions now because of the pandemic. I've had so much time to practice.
That's good. And at least something positive comes out of it.
Yeah, because before when I'm teaching all day and then I go in and perform at night, I'm having no time to learn more how to produce. And I don't know if what I would have, you know, put out would have been as good, but the pandemic has given me so much time. Like I have the 6 hours to sit down and scroll through, you know, different instruments and be like, well, how does this sound? What does this thing do? Maybe I should click this. Like,
So the mixing and mastering somebody else does for your tracks. Do I get this right?
Yeah. The last one I did was Something in the Way, and my cousin did such a good job. His name is Zach, and he does
shout out to Zach.
He does like the music for Fortnite. I don't know if you know that game.
I know. I never played it. You know, I'm old.
I actually haven't either.
I don't play these games, but I heard. I mean, it's tough to not hear of them, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so he did such a good job mixing that song. People still tell me, they're like, oh my God, the vocal mix on that song is so good. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could take credit. I'm just the singer, you know.
No, but this is also, this is my credo as well, because it's better to focus on a few things and make them right than on too many, you know, like we said in the beginning, you know, solve one problem and not so many. Because, yeah, I mean, I see it the same, you know, I'm focusing more on voice as well and, you know, singing so that an other can do the mixing and mastering, and they do it, you know, this is the only thing they do, so they do it much better. And you can, today,
absolutely,
with the interwebs, you can learn everything, yeah, right? So there's tutorials, galore, you know, whatever, but you know, going through them and really doing it, and it can be, you know, that if you have a time and you enjoy it, do it. But if you have a family and work and whatever, you know, there's different priorities. It's just the way it is, you know. I'm completely with you that why trying to do everything a little bit good when you can do one thing really good and other people can help you. You know, I'm also a big for collaborations and stuff, you know, reaching out to other people and, oh, you can, oh, you did such a good job. Can you help me where? So you only use the studio for producing your own things, right?
At the moment. For now. I mean, I could definitely work with other artists in the future.
Okay. Are you planning? Would not?
Oh, I definitely would. So, I mean, top line songwriting and production is something that I could do tomorrow. I was trying to collaborate with some pop singers, and they're really talented young women who are really good at singing, but they don't have like the tech, you know, they don't have the money to pay for a studio. And I was like, well, I can do it. But you know, it's hard sometimes with younger people to get them to like do what they're supposed to.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Okay, never mind.
I have a 7-year-old daughter. She does always what I tell her to do.
Wow.
Always.
Oh my God, that's scary.
No. I mean, you know, for the record, no, she doesn't. She has her own, head, and that's absolutely fine. You know, I don't want a robot. Anyway, but I just wanted to sympathize with you. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm still getting started, right? I want to have at least like 2 full EPs off my own label before I start, you know, branching out. Because I think you have to have like a good library of music.
That's a good thought, yeah.
You know, because anybody can create 3 really hot tracks. I think anyway, but I think it shows more longevity and like talent for you to be like consistently making stuff. So I think like for me, I do want to focus on like I have like a certain number of songs that are already written that I need to produce. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm done with that, I want to start working with some other people, maybe try and work with some pop kids or some other heavy metal bands. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of my talent is just sitting behind a computer sometimes and like experimenting with sounds. Mm-hmm. And I won't tell you how I get really inspired, but I have a lot of fun experimenting mm-hmm. around.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, for me, I just like it. I like that. I never thought I would like be getting into production. I always thought I would just pay someone to do it. Mm-hmm. But then I just struggled trying to vocalize how I wanted it to sound. Like I would ask somebody, oh, how would you produce this? And it was just like so way off from anything that I wanted. And one of my teachers said, you know, the best way to get the music to sound like what you want is to make it mm-hmm. how you want it.
Yep. And, no question about it.
It takes ages, but mm-hmm. eventually it's so rewarding, like being able to say, oh my God, like I remember when I was just like could barely play two chords.
Cool. No, that's cool. I love music. So how did you meet your future band, let's put it this way, which hopefully will come together as a future band. So how did you meet?
I don't know if you have this in Germany. It's called Craigslist.
Yeah, I know what it is. We don't have it in Germany. We have something similar, but more for music, like Backstage Pro, for example, where I met my current guitar hero. And yeah, but Craigslist, I remember, and there's a lot of stories about Craigslist, it's more. I think it's also in Europe.
It's better than Facebook though, because on Facebook you can never get anybody's responses because the post has to get a lot of likes, mm-hmm. otherwise no one sees it.
I see.
So if I go and post like in LA musicians searching for band members, nobody will see it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have like a network of 500 people who love me. I don't
actually I know a few LA residents already. We were on my show. So they're more industrial inclined music wise, you know. But this is Thomas from Seraphim and what was his name? Richard from Fleischkrieg. So they're also LA residents. So maybe check them out. You will find them. You know, you will be together with them in my playlist on YouTube. So you will be already on there. So maybe check them or reach out to them. They're also in LA, and the one is a talented filmmaker. So you know, you can even ask them for a video cooperation or something. You know, this is I personally, like I told you already, like collaborations because it's not like it's a doggy dog world out there. No, I mean, this is kind of we can help each other and there is enough space for, you know, we do different music, of course, than you know, more industrial stuff. But we have heavy guitars and we have drums and stuff and they also produce things. So, you know, just talk with them. They are really cool guys, both of them. And once this shitty pandemic is over, who knows, you might be even performing with them, you know. So check them out. You will find them. It's Thomas from Seraphim and Richard from Fleischkrieg, and they're both in LA, so why not checking my little Craigslist. I'm a matchmaker now. I'm a matchmaker. Yay! In heaven.
Great. And I just love what you said. I feel the same way. Like we have to support each other because mm-hmm. a lot of musicians, they're so competitive. Like you post something and they'll ignore it or they'll, you know, I've just met a lot of musicians who are just really competitive and they just don't want to share your music. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of success with being, as you said, collaborative and helping each other. And like on social media, I have networks of support groups, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's women and women producers or, you know, hard rock bands, you know, we have networks where we support each other. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, the way to succeed. I don't think you're going to succeed by being, it's all for me and only mm-hmm. for me. Like mm-hmm. it's not possible, not with the amount of people that are out there making music.
Exactly. So yeah, I already heard, you know, you're having like EPs, you know, this is kind of the new thing, I think also would work best not to have a big album because, you know, if you're a big band like Rammstein or so, you can make an album every 10 years and people will still get it and listen to it. But if you are just starting out, it's better to bob out your head, you know, and see, okay, we're here, you know, and also collaborations help, you know, when you get somebody else to mix it and then you get a mix from this DJ and that, and, you know, and then you get kind of the overspill from their fans and you reach out to new crowds and stuff. I think, and I mean, the positive thing for you as for me is you don't have to live from it. You know, it would be nice to live from music, but yeah, it's if it's not happening, then you have at least the most fun you can have, and you have more fun if you work with other people and not just, you know, use your elbows and kick them out and stuff, you know. So I really like this, and for me, obviously, you know, as a radio DJ, because I have also a radio show, it's easy to find people to collaborate with or ask them, you know, what can we do together and stuff. But I mean, I still have to do it, of course. Yeah. So, whenever you get the opportunity, this is also for the listeners out there, just do it, you know. There is enough fish in this pond for all of us, and it's not, I don't know why there should be a dog-eat-dog world out there. It's so much more fun.
It drives me crazy. But, you know, I just focus on all the good people. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is so true. Like the fact that nowadays, like I did a lot of research about how to succeed on Spotify, because if you can succeed mm-hmm. on Spotify, you can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it's totally different than how it used to be. Like you want to be like releasing a track every 2 months, mm-hmm. you know, at the maximum to whatever, feed the algorithm. So if you, as you said, you just hold them all into one big 15 track album, Spotify only counts it as one release. Mm-hmm. Where if you do them as singles and then release it as an EP, then all of your streams carry over from the mm-hmm. single.
Exactly. And
it's just totally different, because a lot of people are still, like my older friends are still in this mindset, like, are you going to release an album? I'm like, why? So I can fail at the Spotify algorithm.
Yeah, and this is also sometimes even against the algorithm, it's better to go against the stream. You know, you don't have to do everything just because you feed the algorithm, right? I was just the other day watching a very successful German YouTube channel who just hit over 1 million subscribers. And they said they tried in the beginning to do everything by the book, like you have to do it and put out a video every and short, you know, that targeted to this specific audience and blah, 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 blah. And they got like 60,000 subscribers. And then they said, oh, no, this is not really going where we really wanted to go. Let's do what we wanted. And they did much longer videos and they took big breaks, even, you know, in the winter time, when it's the best way to upload things because people have time and don't go out much because it's cold outside and dark and whatever. So we kind of did exactly what the algorithm told them to do and succeeded, you know. So I'm telling you this just to do it, feed the algorithm, but also don't be like, oh, this is the only way. You know, if you meet a nice boyfriend, you get a new boyfriend, and then, you know, for 2 months, there's nothing, just love. Let's put it this way, and but if it happens, you know, I'm just hypothetical, hypothetical, and then it's fine, and then you put something out, and it's still okay. What I'm telling you is just, I mean, work with it, work with the knowledge. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just realizing that I'm trying to lecture a professor, so. Okay. No, but you get my point, you know?
Totally. I'm still learning. I have so much to learn. Mm-hmm. you know, what I've read so far about what people have said about that stuff. But I agree, like, you can't get too set into everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't have any music videos released. Mm-hmm. And some people think that that's, you know, like, that you have to have a music video. Mm-hmm. But for me, it just, like, wasn't a priority. I was more interested in getting more music out because mm-hmm. I felt like with the pandemic, like, the world's ending and I want to, like, get that music. Like, I can worry about, like, my vanity in a video later. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted, like, get those tracks out there, you know, mm-hmm. just in case.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely with you because that brings me back to the point I made earlier that focus on the few things you really can do, you know. For example, I'm just one person and I'm mainly focusing on Twitter because my radio boss, he was like, oh, we're big on Twitter. So I'm just doing Twitter basically, but I'm also on Instagram and things, but this is more like, okay, you know, I'm there and I'm reaching out to people like I reached out to you and stuff. So, but I do only one thing right, and this is Twitter, you know? But yeah, thank you. You responded.
Sure. So guess what? I didn't tell you this.
Uh-oh.
This is my first ever podcast.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? You're like popping the cherry.
Yeah, and you know, later, once you become a international superstar, I can say, I found her, you know, I brought her out. She was in this house surrounded by fire, and I rescued her. I got her out, and I showed the world who she is, who is Sadie B. You know, and I can really take the credit for that. No, but no, it's...
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Oh, I was going to say, I love that you asked me about climate change. I thought that was great. I'm so glad. You're like really well informed. That's really cool. Yeah.
I think I'm not well informed. I'm just kind of, how you say, I know a lot of little things, you know, and for me, you know, climate change with, I don't have a car. So this is my little thing to do because I don't need one. And I try not to buy, you know, this T-shirt is, it has once a label on it. It's not visible anymore. I wear everything until it falls apart and stuff. So this is my thing to, you know, I don't buy new stuff if I don't really need to. Sometimes I'm really hoping that my shoes will break because I want new shoes. But as long as we still work, I'm taking these shoes because...
It's crazy. Yeah. Like with clothes, like I'm just like, I don't like, my mom's like, can we buy you new clothes? Like, we've seen you wearing this for 10 years and we're tired of it. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm like, mom, you don't understand, like all these musical plugins, they cost money. You know, I don't have the money left over for shoes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like my house is like everything in this room is like all my paychecks for the past year. And then if you look at the rest of the house, it's just like empty and it's like a crappy futon.
Okay,
like but there's no furniture.
But you still eat right, here. Right? Okay, the food you eat right. You got good food at least. This is also important.
I try to eat good food. I don't like to cook really. I'm really lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I eat a lot of microwave food.
Oh, okay. I mean, it doesn't.
It
can be good food. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. I will not stress
are you.
To
Postmates? Oh no, you don't have Postmates in Germany.
What?
Postmates in America, it's this, it's kind of like Uber, you know, Uber,
mm-hmm.
but it's for food. So you go on this app and you say, I want food from this restaurant, and then somebody comes and brings it to your house.
Okay. We have delivery stuff also,
okay,
but
yeah.
Not this yet. I think this is more less specific. It's kind of you say the restaurant and somebody goes, picks it up for you and brings it to you. So it's not from the restaurant itself, basically, from the delivery service of a restaurant.
Right. So it's like it could be anyone. So mm-hmm. if you wanted to become a Postmate and you could just in your car, you get an order on the phone. It says go to KFC and buy chicken for Brian.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to KFC, you buy the chicken for Brian, then you take it to Brian's doorstep and then you leave it there. And then he comes and opens it when you're gone because mm-hmm. of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But I do that a lot. I have Postmate a lot. I'm really lazy. See, actually, with my other boyfriends, they always did all the cooking.
Oh, so you need a new boyfriend.
Well, I'm too picky now, though. Hmm. I've become so picky the older I get. It's just like impossible.
No, but this is absolutely fine. You know, I was just this morning talking with one of my friends about it, that it's okay. we derail a little bit into relationship advice, but my two cents on it is, it's good to be alone and to really see what you really want. Because first of all, you need to be a whole person to really be with somebody else. If you need one to be a complete person, to make you, then you're incomplete. You need to be standing on your own feet, right? So this is important. And you need time on your own to really know what this is, what is you and what you like, da, da, da. And once you found your inner core and you know, you're in your equilibrium, basically, then you can see who can add to that and who can, you know, be a nice substitution, is it not the right word, but you can be a nice add-on, let's put it in computer terms.
Compliment your company quite nicely, but this takes time, but now comes the but.
What I realized, and you know, I'm a little bit older as well, is if you wait too long, the problem what you face then is that in your head everything makes sense. You know, you kind of, oh, I always did it this way, and you have nobody to stop you or tell you, hey, why did you do this way? You know, I mean, this is so stupid because you never thought about it. You don't have someone, you know, for the little things in the house who tells you, okay, stop here. You know, this makes no sense at all, because in your head it makes sense, of course. You get my point? You get a little bit strange, you know, like cat lady strange. You get a little bit like, okay, you know, you have a hard time to communicate, and I don't think you have to fear that, because you are a university professor. You are hanging out with a lot of young people, and you have to communicate well. So this, I don't think this will happen, but you get my point. It's, don't wait too long, because the older you get, it also, you get more quirky and more little things what kind of set in, and then the other person who's older has also been, you know, it's harder to get together again, you know. It's not impossible, but I should start a relationship channel, I guess.
Oh my god, yeah. That would be funny. Yeah, I don't have much to say about that.
Okay, me, don't. Sorry, this is really derailed a lot.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Okay, so because we're gonna have breakfast soon. thank you. Yeah, I like breakfast as well. Do you wanna add something to the millions of fans who gonna watch this in the next 2 hours? And you know, what do you wanna say to your future arena audience?
Oh my god, that's putting a lot of pressure on me. I would just say that rock isn't dead. It's still alive. And that we're gonna totally get through this pandemic shit, and we're going to survive. We're gonna survive, and we're gonna play again.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a very nice ending. But I think so too. The good thing after all this is, I think people will really cherish live performances more, because we really know what it is if you don't have it, you know. You only, you know what you had if you don't have it anymore.
I know. I agree. I think we're all going to be closer. I think we're all going to just be like even crazier than ever.
Yeah. I think so too. Okay, Sadie.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time. And yeah, it was really nice talking to you. I think we covered everything besides your music.
No, we
No, we talked a little bit about your music, of course. No, but yeah, thank you. It was very enjoyable. So I wish you all the best. I will upload this video now to YouTube, and I sent you the link so that you can see the millions of viewers rising in no time. And I will link to your music so that you know. And I can, you know, once you are the superstar you are surely gonna be in the next. Then I can claim the throne. The title that I kind of was the first one.
The grunge queen.
Yeah, Sadie B, the grunge queen. Okay, exactly. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You,
have
girl.
A nice evening, and I sent you all the stuff later. So, but now okay. I have breakfast first.
Okay, you enjoy your breakfast.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.